All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome in to Daily Faceoff Live, your go-to source for everything hockey, live every weekday at noon Eastern.
Happy Monday and welcome into a fresh week of Daily Faceoff Live, streaming live on the DFO YouTube, where we're looking for your inbox questions, and as always, brought to you by Betano. It is a big, big sports week coming up. Betano's got you covered for all the odds. Tyler Remchuk, Frank Saravalli with you for the week of shows. Stumbled a little there, Frank. Couple of things. First, solar eclipse day. Hello. Is it really that bad to look at it?
Look, I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to be giving medical advice on this show. I would say shield your eyes. It's fair kind enough. Of like looking at me for a half an hour every day. Shield your eyes. Shield your eyes.
Sure. Go ahead.
No, what an electric weekend. I don't know. I'm not even a wrestling fan, but I was back in the day. And the Undertaker, the bells last night, it was just like, bing. That was unreal.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wanted a quick 20-second review of WrestleMania. Was it a good time?
So I didn't go. Ended up selling the tickets. My guy honestly wasn't that into it. And then we kind of watched for the first time together. And he like loved it. So yeah, it was cool. And we're going tonight to Monday Night Raw.
Ooh, nice. Good times. It was a busy weekend around the NHL. So let's not waste any time. Let's get into things, Frank. And how about the March of the Penguins? 4 wins in a row for Pittsburgh. They are right on the edge of a playoff spot, sitting 1 point back of the Detroit Red Wings, 2 points back of the New York Islanders for potentially third in the Metropolitan Division as well. And what's interesting about this Penguins team is the fact that their big guns are playing like they're big guns, Frank, particularly in that game against Tampa. It was Crosby, Malkin, Letang doing the scoring. Penguins are looking good. 5 games to go. This guy's playing a big role as well. And Nedeljkovic has taken over the starting role. This Penguins team, it's hard to imagine them cooling off, honestly, when I watch them play.
Did you see them the first 60 games of the year? Like, that's the tough part. And I get what you're saying. And you're like, Crosby, Malkin, Letang, everyone's nodding their heads going, yeah, give me more of that. Like, where has that been? And it makes sense. And like, I had been saying this, go back to November, their underlying numbers have mostly been quite good. They haven't really gotten much by way in terms of results. It seems like that's turning. For some teams, it never turns. And it also happens to come at a time when everyone else is absolutely fumbling the bag. the Flyers, the Caps. No one can buy a win. And here's what happens when you have a pillow fight is you leave yourself susceptible to one knockout blow. And it seems like both the Caps and the Flyers are trending towards that as the Islanders keep winning in their own right. So it's what we're looking at from the Pittsburgh Penguins is historic. Like, park the talk from the Hamburglar and that run to get in with the Sens and the St. Louis Blues being in last place and going on to win the Stanley Cup. What we're talking about is in the salary cap era, it's never happened that a team has been 9 points out with 10 games remaining and finds a way to make up that ground. The NHL standings are almost designed so that you can't make up that ground. You need a perfect storm. You need an absolute terror winning streak at the same exact time as a team that can't bank any points or put anything together. And that's pretty much exactly what we're seeing.
Yeah, you mentioned the Islanders. They've won four in a row themselves. And it also is kind of funny, like the Penguins and Islanders have both gotten themselves back into it. New York's put themselves back in a driver's seat. And you keep making the pillow fight reference. I mean, it's not even like either one of them's gone 9-1 in their last 10 to do this. The Penguins are 6-2-2. They've only won one more game than they've lost over, or two more games than they've lost over the last 10. The Islanders are the same, 6-4 in their last 10. So I mean, it's just funny to see these teams get right back in it, still playing good but not great over the last 10 games. So we'll see what ends up happening. Detroit got a big win yesterday as well, so they're still technically in a driver's seat with the Islanders. But the Penguins still have a tough schedule. It feels like you talked about this on the DFL rundown today when it came to the Western Conference and some seeding, but it also is a bit of a math problem for Pittsburgh too. Like, you are still a full point back of the Red Wings with only 5 games to go. And with the existence of the loser point, that can still be a tough gap to close.
Yeah. Look, you're going to need some help. But here's the other part about this that's fascinating is I think there's some interesting existential questions to ask. And you can tee up the DFO rundown today because Jason Greger and you and me had this exact conversation about this idea of, okay, all of this happening is great, but what does this mean for the Flyers who went into this season rebuilding and now may miss the playoffs and may draft like 13th? And then also, what does all of this say about the New Jersey Devils who came into this season with so much by way of expectations, the fact that the door's been wide open and they're not even close to walking through it?
Yeah, and I think there are some bigger picture questions to have over the next couple of weeks, and we'll probably hit on a lot of those as teams get officially eliminated and we do our post-mortem series. We got another one of those coming up in a little bit, but let's head out west where this weekend saw the Dallas Stars take control of the top spot in the entire Western Conference. Honestly, they're 5 points clear of the Colorado Avalanche now with just 4 games to go. If you think maybe the Canucks could catch them, I mean, they're 5 points back with only 1 game in hand. That's probably not happening either. But the Stars made a statement here with this 7-4 win over the Colorado Avalanche. And again, I love looking at that goal score side of this board and just seeing like, oh yeah, Sagan, Ben, Johnson, Duchesne, Hintz, Marchment. Yeah, all three lines chipping in with a couple of goals in this game, Frank. They are deep and they are dangerous.
That's 8-20 goal scorers for you right there. I mean, that's an incredibly impressive group. The Dallas Stars have been making a statement all season. It's just that no one in the rest of the league really pays attention and or listens. Not to say that everyone's asleep at the wheel. It's just that through all of this, they've been neck and neck the whole time. Yet when we see the sort of physical force dominance that Nathan MacKinnon has or the speed of the Avs, people kind of just get sucked in and drawn to that. And it's, to me, not to say that the Avs aren't good. Obviously they are in a contender. It's just the Stars have been consistently excellent all season. How long was Jake Oettinger out? He's found his game again. How long was Miro Heiskanen out? They never really missed a beat through any of that period of time when for some teams you might have seen a little bit of a skid. And, you know, I'd be real surprised if we get to opening night of the playoffs and the entire Western Conference isn't running through Dallas.
Yeah, and I think that's fair as well. The Colorado Avalanche went toe-to-toe with both the Oilers and Stars over the weekend, and they gave up 13 goals in those two games, Frank. Any concerns with Colorado right now?
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I've been saying for a while that the one part of their game that concerns me is their goaltending. And maybe some people will say, oh, that's unfair because they won the Stanley Cup a couple years ago with Darcy Kuemper having maybe the worst playoff run of any goalie to win the cup. And they did it in spite of the goaltending, but it's obvious that they're going to have to button up their play a bit. It can't be this, you know, this detailed in or lack of detail in trading chances. And the other part is that Avs team has this amazing quality of confidence to them that they don't really blink when they're down. And so they've been an amazing comeback team this season. It's just that you can't really rely on that to save the day, especially when you're dealing with the top quality competition in some of those teams like Dallas and Edmonton. Of course, the Mikko Rantanen thing, everyone's paying attention to that. How much did that factor into the results this weekend? You take a 100-point score out of your lineup and put him in concussion protocol, and that's going to change some things. But nonetheless, I don't know if we saw some cracks from the Avs this weekend, or are they just some warts that have been there for a while that we've glossed over?
We will see. Just 4 games left in the regular season for the Avs. We mentioned that game on Friday night out in Edmonton. The Oilers walk out with a win, and they walk out with an X next to their name. They have officially clinched a spot in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Frank, I mean, hey, if you would have just told Oilers fans that alone, that they were going to clinch a playoff spot back on, call it November, anytime in early November, they would have taken it. And now we're looking at a team that, since Chris Knobloch took over, has been far and away by points percentage the best team in the NHL. I looked this up about a week ago for a piece on Oilers Nation, and the gap between the Oilers in points percentage and second in the league since Chris Knobloch took over, you can't find another gap that big till you go down to 24th in the NHL standings. It's crazy to see how much they've separated. The strengths are simple with this team. It's scoring. And right now they have a third line that's humming along really well. Their whole top nine seems to be moving at a pretty good pace offensively. I think, Frank, the weakness is also just as easy to identify, though. It's their blue line to me.
I wouldn't even necessarily say it's their blue line, because I think it's more overarching than that. I think it's that this team, time and time again, is its own worst enemy. And it's not allowing singles and doubles to turn into grand slam home runs. And they do that way too often. That, to me, it's not any one person. It's not just on Darnell Nurse. It's not just on Evan Bouchard. It's not just on Leon Draisaitl, if we're being fair. There's a number of players that with this, you know, this team, that they've got all the talent in the world, yet they too often shoot themselves in the foot. And that's going back 4 years now. Like, this is nothing new. So I'm not breaking news when I say that. It's just, how can Edmonton find a way to not do that when it comes to the postseason? Are you going to make mistakes? Sure. Try and limit how big the wound is, because at some point someone's going to, you know, potentially you leave yourself open to someone dealing you a fatal blow in that case. And I look at this team and I say, I wouldn't be shocked if they won the Stanley Cup this year. And I also wouldn't be shocked if, let's say, they're facing Vegas in the first round, they lost this year. That's just the nature of the beast. And, you know, that's really the tough part about what Edmonton is facing, because there have been some great What I would say is they have found some and unlocked some key efficiencies under Chris Knobloch. Their tempo through the neutral zone is off the charts. Their efficiency of their defensemen getting the puck into the hands of their forwards, making more simple plays, has been tremendous. Paul Coffey has done a huge job with that and also instilling some confidence in this back end. But I'll wrap with this on the Oilers is it's hard enough to beat 15 other teams when it comes to the playoffs. If you have to beat yourself along the way, it's going to be really problematic for you.
Yeah, I think you're bang on with that as well. It's not just the blue line. It's a team defense issue. It's a team mindset issue at times for the Oilers. And perhaps, as I'll wrap it up, no X factor bigger than maybe the man between the pipes and Stuart Skinner, an .883 save percentage last season in the playoffs. Compare that to his career .910 save percentage in the regular season. If they get .910 Stuart Skinner, that helps you a lot in a playoff series.
Not my X factor. My X factor is Evander Kane. And we saw this weekend some more jawing with Corey Perry. This is now the second guy that he's publicly jawed with on the bench. Some would say that's the sign of a healthy team. My reminder would be that we've seen the good and the bad from Evander Kane in the playoffs. A couple years ago, he was an absolute force on the way to the Western Conference Final. Last year, he was injured, and the Oilers just couldn't generate enough without him pulling his weight. And if he's going to head into this playoffs, either jawing and or pouting, the Oilers, it's going to make it that much harder.
We're going to talk about the Vegas Golden Knights in a bit with John Goyens, but let's continue our postmortem series quickly, Frank. We're talking about the Buffalo Sabres. Today on the DFO Rundown, and hey, you actually said this last Friday on DFO Live as well, no team in the league is more disappointed than the Ottawa Senators. I think second on that list has got to be the Buffalo Sabres. When you look at the fact that the second wildcard team in the East is going to finish with at most 94 points. And last year, the Sabres had 91 points. I think you got to be sitting there kicking yourself if you're in that organization or if you're a Sabres fan going, how did we not find four more points than we had last year to get in? All you needed was that little bump of a year-over-year improvement. The end of another disappointing season is coming in Buffalo. Will this be a summer of big changes or a summer of sticking to the plan with this core?
Well, it's fitting that the solar eclipse rolls directly over Buffalo today, and it's fitting that the weather is cloudy in Buffalo today, because if you're a Sabres fan, you have a hard time seeing the sun in general. It's not just because of where you live in Western New York. It's because of this is the longest playoff drought in pro sports, and you're struggling. And I get it. I am a Buffalo believer. I think with the blue line that team has, I mean, look at this. Power, Dahlin, Byram, Joki Haru's there today, but throw in Matias Samuelsson when healthy. That is as good a top four as any team in the entire NHL. Period, full stop. Up front, Tage Thompson and great breakout season from JJ Paterka and Alex Tuch. Those three guys can't do it alone. They need better scoring support. One of the biggest things that sticks out to me is they need more size. I know they've got Tage Thompson and Rasmus Dahlin and whatever. They got pushed around a lot this year. So they thought that they could stick to the plan. And by the way, in net, you mentioned goaltending with Edmonton. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen has been a bit of a revelation this year, in a year that everyone was hoping Devon Levi would grab the reins. So I think there's a million reasons to be excited about where the Sabres are heading. It's not a straight line. You're not just going to go from 84 or 91 to 94. It doesn't happen like that. Even the best teams, and I would say even more disappointing than this year than the Sabres has been the Devils. The best teams have hiccups at times. And I think with the Sabres, it's more easily definable. And to answer your question, I'd be surprised if Kevin Adams decides to sit back again this summer, as well as, you know, they've done it to this point being methodical. I think the middle stat trade for Bowen Byram was a huge window into how aggressive Kevin Adams wants to be in terms of reshaping the look of this team, because like the Sens, marching back the same team again, I think that would be insane.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that. It could be an interesting summer in Buffalo. Let's get to our big segment today. It's the Coach's Room with John Goyens. The Coach's Room is delivered by DoorDash, 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25, available to all of our viewers and listeners in Canada. John Goyens does color commentary for TSN 690 for the Habs and Rocket. He was a busy man over the weekend. Today, we are dialing it in on the Vegas Golden Knights, though, John, a team that, we'll start with this, they've been up and down all season and up and down even in the back half of the year.
Yeah, and in the back half of the year, you know, a lot of people look at all the different puzzle pieces they went out and acquired, but it looks like a puzzle without a picture, right? You buy a puzzle, it's got a picture on the box, and you know, then you got to take the time to put all the pieces in the right place. But because not all those pieces have been available, i.e. Thomas Hertl, for example, and Mark Stone's out and all this type of stuff, it looks like the picture is not exactly clear. So not all the pieces have a very specific spot. And you look at those injuries, those are very, very big time players for these guys. So as they get closer to the playoffs, they will make the playoffs. It's figuring out what does that picture look like and where does every piece go? Because it's not obvious when you pick up a Mantha. It's not obvious when you pick up a Hanifin, for example. Where does everybody fit in?
One area that has not been working as of late is the power play. Is it personnel? Is it structure? Is it just a slump? What's going on with the Golden Knights when they have a man advantage?
I think it could be all of the above. I think one area that a lot of people don't talk about, considering you see the mobility of a Shea Theodore, considering you've seen the success of a guy like Pietrangelo, who is their power play quarterback? Who? Because last year, Pietrangelo had 14 power play points. That's nothing to write home about. The next guy on the list, Shea Theodore, had 9. This year, it's the opposite. Shea Theodore has 14. Pietrangelo has 9. That's not outstanding. So that's why their power play is 21st in the league overall. But more specifically, since the trade deadline, 13.9%. That is 26th in the league. It's anemic at best. Anemic. And what's happening is, their entries are great. Their faceoffs are great. Their zone time is great. They can't get to the inside. So as we fire up these clips, we'll see exactly why they can't get to the inside, because you see Hanifin here, for example, right off the bat, he doesn't scan the ice. So he's going back and forth with Eichel nonstop. Again, doesn't scan the ice. You got 3 guys on one side of the ice. You got to find a way to get to the east, to the weak side. He doesn't affect the depth by getting his feet outside the blue line. Look at, in this game, Arizona down 4-1 going into the third. They give up 6 and they go 0-for on the power play. That's a big difference. And when you get frustrated, you force bad shots like Hanifin did right there. You're one and done. Where's all the time and space? Hanifin should come down the pipe for a 1T. No, they go goal line, force it. This is an easy play for Arizona to break up. They are killing their own power plays. It's not the PKs that are killing their power plays. Again, force a high tip when it's not available. Watch this play. So they're going to get a good setup after a draw. Again, Hanifin doesn't scan the ice. The weak side wide open, force a shot. Watch what triggers now the PK. Pressure, bouncing puck. Pressure, bouncing puck. Pressure, pressure. Like, they can't get it settled down. So I feel as though that the quarterback part's got to be assessed. The other part is they've got to stop killing their own power plays by forcing plays. It's not all bad, right? Here, there's a lot of motion. Here, they're going to show a lot more poise in this sequence. And as Hanifin finally uses the 85 feet across the blue line, he's going to create space for Marchessault to get open in the slot. Not one chance, but it's going to create a second chance right here down the pipe. They have the personnel. It's the question mark for me is going to be their power play quarterback.
Man, it's amazing looking at some of those clips, John, because you look at it and you say Hanifin's so far out of the play that it's almost like it plays right into Arizona's hands. It creates more or less 4-on-4 down low that negates their advantage.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The PK was at the advantage on every sequence. I could have gone right down the pipe, even though they scored a couple against Vancouver recently. At the end of the day, chalk it up. It's 5 for 36 in the last 13 games, minus a shorthanded goal, which brings their net power play to 10%. That is almost, what is that? That's 30th in the league currently. So it's not good enough, but it's forcing plays, and the quarterback's got to do a better job of managing the 85 feet along that blue line.
Let's talk about some good in Vegas, and there's been a huge, you know, trend, I guess, over the last 6 weeks of this team in an upward direction. And one of the key facets to that has really been how good of a job the Golden Knights have done defending off the rush. Show us what that means.
Well, defending, I mean, everybody was so complimentary last year about how good, how big they were on D, but all how well they can skate. And that continues to play out here in these sequences. Their big men can move. They've got mobility and they can adjust in transition. Here you're going to get a sequence, 2D surfing together. It's synchronized. Pinch him off, cut off his arms. You don't have to get physical. Here again, Martinez, smart. Dot line, negates a pass option. Watch the stick and the mobility of Pietrangelo. Bang, thank you very much, and it's gone. These guys, even when they have bad gaps, they can adjust east-west with their mobility, but when in doubt, you need the experience of a Stevenson, who used to be considered only a third-line player in Washington, who can play both sides of the puck to break up plays. Again, Martinez just matches speeds, denies anything to that outlet. Then it takes also the forward coming back. You create triangles. You force teams to relinquish the possession. Take an early gap. Once again, I can't speak highly enough of Alec Martinez, what he does away from the puck to deny entries and force teams to relinquish possession. Here, terrible gap. That's fine. But when you can be more, when you have the mobility, all of a sudden you went from a 50-foot gap to about a stick length away, and again, negating any offense coming down the pipe. They've got reach through the neutral zone. They've got mobility. And when they think they've got a bad gap, they've got great trackers coming right down the pipe to support.
It's really the trackers that is the staple of the Bruce Cassidy system, isn't it?
Yeah, because that tracker, every team, well, most teams you want to talk about, sorted out by the red line. So D2's got to be that QB. And then it's that tracker, you want to cut the ice in half is rule, typically rule number one. And then where do you want to deflect the pressure? Then every team has different rules. Kickouts either belong to the D or kickouts belong to the forwards. But it seems like no matter what might be anemic offensively on the power play, they're all in on the tracking.
Let's go back to the offense of this Golden Knights team, because we talked about the power play, bottom three in the league since February 1st, but their offense, goals for per game, still top 10 in that stretch. So what is allowing this Golden Knights team to find success offensively?
Well, this is where I get a bit of that offensive groove. I've been known as an offensive coach, and we talked about this during the playoff run last year. What were some of the struggles of some of those teams going deep in the playoffs? The Carolinas, the Floridas, they weren't offensively diversified, and Vegas was offensively diversified. They could score off the rush. They could score off the forecheck, the cycle, long sequences of OZP. But lo and behold, it's still the rush game right now, and it's how quickly they can go from one end to the back of your net. Not one end to the other end, one end to the back of the twine. And these are these sequences that'll show great defensive structure, great tracking, and quick transition within 6 to 7 seconds into the back of the net. Right here, you got Shea Theodore. He sees his open man. Great read to come off the wall. And watch the time on the clock. 8:57. Boom, up the ice. Carlson in the back of the net in 4 seconds. Good defensive structure. Arizona's boxed out. Hell of a stick. Again, watch the clock. From a turnover at 5:31 to 7 seconds later, hell of a give and go here between Mantha and Carlson right in the back of the net. And again, under 7 seconds. That ability to quick strike like that, especially in the playoffs when turnovers are magnified that much more and the nerves settle in and the excitement of the WWE type of atmosphere – settles into a playoff rink. These types of plays, this type of transition gets teams on their heels. Again, watch Jack Eichel. He's so far behind, but he forces Vancouver to focus on him, and it gives Marchessault all kinds of time to walk in and get it past the post. From a defensive structure, and what an area pass by Barbashev right here. You want to force me? No problem. We're driving the net out of, and then all of a sudden, you see Zadorov's head turn, and he forgets about Eichel. Great job by Cotter right here. Protects the puck. Stevens is like, see ya. Boom. Underneath. Kick it up. And now you got an on-man rush with Amadio coming right down the pipe. So the other part is, as their transition, their rush game to score, it's all four lines that have the capability. And when you add a guy like Nick Waugh, former first-round pick in the queue, and you add that to your four lines can be effective off the rush.
Fantastic stuff as always. Thanks for doing this, John.
Thanks, guys.
Moving along to our daily face-off inbox question, hashtag AskDFO. It is brought to you by Douglas Mattress. You can sleep as good as I do every night on a Douglas mattress by heading to douglas.ca/DFO. Frank, our inbox question comes in from our pal Rusty, who watches this show every day on the YouTube. He is also our boy who is out in Utah, and he wants to know, Ryan Smith throwing a survey out today about naming the team, significant or insignificant?
Significant. Look, we've known this forever. You do not get an NHL franchise without kissing the ring. You have to play by Gary Bettman's rules, and nothing that any prospective owner of a franchise does is done without his permission. And so, not saying that he overtly gave permission, but you can bet with 100% certainty that Ryan Smith advised the NHL that he would be putting out a survey today to collect team names for a potential franchise. And if it were to be an expansion franchise, why would you need to do it now? I mean, they wouldn't be beginning play next season. So what's the hurry? Well, if the Arizona Coyotes are relocating, which if you've been following this show, at least not according to all the Coyotes haters, I would tell you that that very much remains alive and if not a strong possibility. So then the next question is, well, what happens with this land deal that the Coyotes announced that they're committed to winning? No one's saying that's wrong. What if the Coyotes are committed to winning the land auction for the expansion Coyotes?
This is going to be interesting over the next month or so here. All right, let's move along to our daily bets for the day. It's brought to you by our friends over at Patano. Just one play for me this evening, Frank, because it's a small slate in the NHL. I'm taking the Golden Knights on the money line +105. It's an easy choice for me. I really think this is a 50-50 matchup at best for the Vancouver Canucks. The Golden Knights have been playing better hockey over their last 10 than Vancouver. Vancouver got smothered by the Kings over the weekend. So give me the plus money payout on a close matchup. It is as simple as that. Golden Knights on the money line tonight in one of the two big games on the NHL schedule. Wrapping up the show with a little bit of garbage time, Frank. It's brought to you by Wendy's and the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool. These are your options tonight as you see Pittsburgh taking on the Leafs is the other game on the slate. You can play along dailyfaceoffsurvivor.com to get your picks in.
You can tail our guy Gav, who appears to be on Vancouver beating Vegas.
He was one of six winners last week in the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool, so you can make your picks today. Don't forget, and last thing you want to do is miss out on day one. Frank, solar eclipse today. People are going to be battling the sun. It was Jonas Korpisalo over the weekend battling the sun in an arena during an NHL game. I have never seen anything like this.
No, this is next level, and I can't really remember anything like that. I think you could always tell, you know, even as a kid watching games on TV when it was an afternoon game, because you could see the sun in varying arenas sort of enter the concourse and spill into the bowl. But I've never seen that where it's directly in a goalie's eyes and we've had to sort of halt play and fix it. But maybe just kind of a meme for the Sen season. And in fact, maybe even Korpisalo season.
Yeah, they showed a reverse angle where you could just like see there's some window in the second deck that was just perfectly placed and shining right in his eyes. It was good stuff.
It's amazing because at that arena in Washington, there aren't really a ton of windows in general. So the fact that one lined up specifically with the net is crazy.
We got a busy week coming up on Daily Faceoff Live as we'll continue to track the playoff race out east and more. That is a wrap on Monday's edition of the show. We'll be back tomorrow, though. Noon Eastern. Chat with you then.
Thanks for tuning in to Daily Faceoff Live. Make sure you hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh Nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.